appreciate the humble prayer that's been offered, the prayers of each of you that I feel you've offered for the service tonight. I hope we have. And if we have not, may the Lord bless us right now as we sit to just ask God to be with us and bless us with what we need tonight from His Word. I've had a passage of Scripture very much on my mind this week and continues to be there tonight. I'd like to call your attention to it. Pray the Lord would bless us to share some of the wonderful things He's allowed us to see in this passage. And may it be to His glory, as every good thing is. And that which is good for the Lord's people glorifies the Lord. And that which glorifies the Lord is good for His people. I'd like to call your attention to the book of 2 Kings. I'd like to read beginning in chapter 4 of 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings tells us of much of the life of the prophet Elisha. It tells us about Elijah the prophet and also Elisha the prophet, the one who came after Elijah. And a double portion of the spirit of Elijah came upon the prophet Elisha because he did see Elijah being carried up into heaven. And that promise was given to him, and he stuck close to Elijah. And when the Lord carried Elijah up into heaven, Elisha was there, saw that, and he was a great prophet. There's one particular passage that here is in the fourth chapter that we'll read in your hearing that I'd like the Lord to bless us to focus on tonight. The Lord continues to lead us in this way. And that's at chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And this is in the days of the prophet Elisha. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." What a wonderful account given to us in the Word of God of the work of Almighty God, an actual account of the work of Almighty God under the old law covenant that gives evidence to the power and the mercy and the grace of the Lord. We know that the Bible says that in various times and divers manners, sundry times and divers manners, the Lord spake in times past unto the prophets, unto the fathers by the prophets. And we see that this that's laid down here in God's Word is that which was given unto the prophet Elijah, that testifies of the glory of God and the very fact that there is a God and there was a God in Israel. And it gives glory and honor and praise to the Lord. And this little woman was a precious little sister. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha." It doesn't tell us very much about her in some ways, but it tells us a lot about her in some ways. Doesn't give us her name. We just know she was a certain woman, not just anybody, not just one among the family of Adam, but she was a certain woman. And this woman was of the wives of the sons of the prophets. She was one of those that were numbered among the faithful that trusted in the Lord and walked by faith And if you remember, Elijah said and thought at one time there was nobody left trusting in the Lord, that everybody had turned and gone away. And he even said, there's only one left, and here I am, and I'm the only one left. And the Lord said, no, I've reserved unto myself a people, 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And here we have this dear sister and her husband had been among, obviously, those that were faithful. And this dear sister knew that there was someone, though she had a great need, that there was someone that could help her need. And the reason she knew that is because she had seen the evidence of the, and I want you to get this, it's not the evidence of the power of Elijah or the power of Elisha, but it's the evidence of the power of God that was seen by the grace of God in the prophet Elijah and the prophet Elisha. In other words, Elijah wasn't anything without the Lord, and Elisha wasn't anything like without the Lord, and this little sister wouldn't be anything without the Lord, and tonight you and I wouldn't be anything without the Lord. That's a good message. Don't get anything else out of that. Tonight, I hope we get that. Without the Lord, we are nothing and can do nothing. And all of the great miracles that you see in the Scripture came to those men in the Old Testament as prophets under the law dispensation. That's the way the Lord operated and showed, manifested Himself. And it says in different ways and in sundry times, at various times, He would manifest Himself. And it would be, He spoke unto the prophets. Unto the fathers, He spoke by the prophets. And I'm glad today, though, we don't have to go run and find Elijah. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the Lord hath in these last days spoken, He says in these last days, has spoken unto us by His Son. We've got one we can look to and go directly to tonight. Not that they didn't have Him, because listen, without Him there wouldn't have been an Elisha, there wouldn't have been an Elijah, but tonight we don't have to go to a... We have a prophet, which is the prophet. We have a high priest. We have a Lord that we can call upon tonight when we're in need, that we can go in our closets and on our knees before the Lord and lay out our case before Him. And that great prophet that already knows everything you need before you ask is able to hear you and does answer prayer. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. By the way, He not only spoke unto us by His Son, but His Son gave these things unto the apostles, and the apostles gave these unto learned men. And this has been written in God's Word, and we have today in the Word of God that which truly furnishes us unto all good works. And as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, and we preach this truth to God's little children, we are declaring the very power of God unto God's little children. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the Apostle Paul said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice it wasn't the power of God to the unbeliever, but it was the power of God to the believer. And by the way, no one would believe were it not for the work of grace previously there to give you faith to be able to embrace and believe the truth. And it's all by the grace and the mercy of God. And that's also taught, I hope and pray I can show that in this lesson. I believe it's taught there. I pray the Lord will bless me to see it, for us to see it tonight. He says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Now notice, this man was not unknown to Elisha. Elisha knew who he was. He was a servant of Elisha. That means he was a follower of the prophet of Elisha, which more importantly means he was a follower of the God of Elisha. He was one who looked unto the Lord and had trusted in the Lord. And this woman says, Elisha, you know my husband, and now my husband is dead. And she is in trouble. And then it says, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Now that tells us a whole lot of... Listen, not only was he was a servant, but he feared the Lord. Now, if you find someone fear the Lord, you found someone who's born of God, who is Because in the natural man, there is no fear of God before his eyes. But in the little child of God, there is a fear, the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it was given by Almighty God. In the new birth, you're given a fear of the Lord. That is a reverential respect of the Lord. In other words, he recognized, I need the Lord in my life. But now the servant of Elisha didn't. He was out of this world, and that he was dead, and had nothing wrong with him. He was in good shape. But listen, his wife was in trouble. We've seen a lot of folks this week that have been in trouble because they've lost mothers, and they've lost sisters, and they've lost friends, and they've been brokenhearted, and they've sat in congregations and in funeral homes where they just didn't want to be, and they didn't know which way to turn, and they didn't know which way to lean. They didn't know where to go, but they were crying. And thank the Lord, we have seen what the comfort of the gospel can mean to those dear ones. Some where you think, well, I don't know that they want to hear that, but listen, when the Lord opens a ear, there's no sound like the gospel. The good news of a finished work done by a Savior who loved eternally, everlastingly, and did all that was necessary to save his people from their sins and accomplish that. He said, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. I'm telling you, her world is in a mess, isn't it? Her husband, whom no doubt she loved, I believe he probably, if he feared the Lord, he probably was a good husband. And he feared the Lord. And there she's got two sons, and they're coming to take her sons, make them bondmen. Didn't have anything to pay, didn't have any way to fix this. She had a great need. She was in trouble. And she came to Elisha, and Elisha, I love this part, because Elisha didn't say, well, don't worry about it, I can take care of it, I can fix it, I know exactly what to do. But listen to what the words of Elisha were to her right here in the beginning. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? In other words, you come to the preacher to ask him to get you out of it. He's in as much trouble. Without the Lord, he's in as much trouble as you are. And I'll tell you what, Elijah was a powerful prophet. But when you saw him over in the cave quaking and trembling because Jezebel said, I'm coming to get you, he didn't look so big and powerful, did he? The same one who had cried unto God and fire had come down out of heaven there as he stood before the prophets of Baal, and he had spoken such power, had also been the one who was just so frail and so weak that he just wanted to die. I'm telling you, Elisha had power when he trusted in the Lord and when he looked to the Lord, but outside of that, he didn't have any ability. And we are not here tonight to preach Elisha. We're here to preach the God of Elisha. We're not here to preach about Elijah. We're here to preach about the God of Elijah. We're not here to preach about the Primitive Baptist Church. We're here to preach about the head of the church and the one who's built the church and the one who loved the church. The one who gave his life for the church. The one who bought and paid for us. The one who supplied unto us every good thing we've ever had in our life. And he had been right here in the life of this dear woman. And I'm telling you, though she was shaken, he was not going to leave or forsake one of his children. And we sure have evidence that he did not. In such a miraculous way. I just want to give you this in passing. I believe this is an accurate historical account that actually occurred in this world. I don't believe it's an allegory. I don't believe it's a story. I don't believe it's some idea written here that is just given to us at some happenstance that somebody and just to teach us some moral lesson. I don't believe this book is a book of fairy tales or fables. There are many myths and there are many fairy tales and there are many fables in this world, but this book contains none of them. This is God's Word. And you and I tonight can count on the fact there was a little widow woman that was here in need, and there was a prophet named Elisha who was blessed by God with a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, who God used to bless this little sister. And God's grace was shown unto her, not because she deserved it, but because God loved her in covenant even before the very foundation of the world. And when she cried unto him, he answered. Some people get an idea of God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. I want you to know he's just like the hymn writer said, he's just the same today. The God of Elisha is just the same today. The God of Elijah is just the same today. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament. And he is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be given honor and glory to. And I'm telling you, he is the one who has supplied everything beneficial and we've needed in our lives. This little sister already had it. And she had it in her house and she just didn't know what she had. I believe tonight you and I have grace sufficient. Already got it. We sometimes get just as shaken as she is and think we don't. But the Lord was about to show her what she already had and how valuable it was. All right. Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house?" Or in the house. What do you got in the house? In other words, what do you got in the house? I'll tell you, she sounded awful poor, but she wasn't poor at all, was she? Because what the Lord did, first of all, is take what he had given her, and he supplied a sufficient amount of it that it took care of her, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. It took care of her for the entirety of her life. He didn't give her a bit more than she needed. He didn't give her a little bit less than she needed. He supplied exactly what she needed. She already had it. She already was in possession of it. She just didn't have a clue what all she really had. I said to you tonight, God's grace has been so abundantly supplied unto us that we tonight have everything that we'll stand in need of, already in possession of it. He has given according as his divine power, he said in Peter, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That means it's already been given. And it wasn't given to us because we deserved it. It was given to us in spite of what we deserved. Let me say it this way. The reason this little woman was blessed is because there was a Savior whose name was Jesus, who loved her and died for her on the tree of the cross and came at the appointed and the accepted time of the Father and gave his very life so that this little woman who did not deserve anything, just like you and I don't deserve anything, but the very wrath of God, this little woman who was born in sin, shapen in iniquity, just like you and I, who had the wage of sin in their life to the point that the only thing they deserved were the wages of sin, which is death. But rather than receive that, God showed her great, great mercy because there was a Savior who paid her sin debt and paid the price so that she might justifiably be given the blessings of God even under the old law covenant. And that same God is right here for us today. I've just been thinking about a pot of oil. All day long. That's what I've been thinking about. Thinking about the blessings of God. My pot of oil. And I'm not saying that's a picture that's here. I don't have anything or any place in the Bible. And I don't want to spiritualize anything and say that's what this means or that what's that. I'm just telling you, when I read about this, I think about God's abundant grace and mercy that was shown unto this little sister. And that when she went and looked in her house, the scripture says, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." That's all I got, a pot of oil. And I ask you, did she make the oil? Did she produce the oil? I mean, probably olive oil. I'm sure it was olive oil when you read about that in the scripture. And this oil was not something she produced. It was something that was given to her. This oil has been very beneficial. This oil she had used for light. That's what they lighted with. That's how you turn the lights on. That's where you didn't go flip the electricity on or flip the switch. You had to have oil in your lamps. There was no oil in your lamps. You didn't have light. It was used for food. It supplied food. It was used for medicine. They were anointed with oil and for medicine. It was used to make one beautiful. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. It was used for as a cosmetic. It was so valuable and so useful. But all she said, I got is just this little pot of oil. I'm telling you, she didn't have a clue how much was going to come out of that pot of oil. I'm telling you, God's grace has been in my life, and I know He's been in your life. I see the evidence of that. The grace of God is manifest. Jesus and Paul said this in every letter almost he wrote. He said, grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you. Listen, grace is a great valuable commodity, a great value. It's only by grace you and I have life. It's only by grace that you and I have food on our tables. It's only by grace that you and I have any beauty in us. And I'm not just talking about any outward. First of all, any outward beauty that's true beauty is of the Lord. But that beauty that's within, if He hadn't clothed us up, listen, we wouldn't be fit to be seen in the very presence of God. It's a beauty that He gives us in His garments of praise. He's taken away the old garments of sin and has clothed us in that wonderful apparel and made us fit to even sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Elisha said unto her, he said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And I can just see her there with this pot of oil and not having a clue about what's to happen. Other than I'm trusting. You read Hebrews 11. This little sister's right in that passage. I mean, here she's trusting in the Lord. And in the midst of an affliction, she found what she needed as she trusted in the Lord. She's giving evidence of the value of trusting in the Lord. She's giving praise unto Almighty God here in the Word of God as she worked out that which God worked in her. As she trusted in Him, she found all that she needed in trusting in Him. And I'm telling you, I can't say that enough tonight. You and I get it. And you know, sometimes it feels like your world can... I've seen people this week, it seemed like their world had fallen apart. I saw a husband who lost his wife who felt like, I don't really have any purpose anymore for being here in this world. I've seen children who've lost their mothers who said, I just, you know, when I lost my dad, I felt bad, but I've lost my mother. I feel like my world is falling apart. And when you see families that have that, oh, I want us to know that our lives have never really been about... thank God for good mothers, and thank God for husbands, and thank God for wives, and thank God for the blessings of our friends in this world. But listen, brethren, we're in this world only for a short while. We're just here for a while, and we're passing through. The one that we truly need will never leave us or forsake us. And when our loved ones die, that die in the Lord, they're not bad shape. They're in good shape. They're just waiting to get home to be with them, and more importantly, with Jesus. And there, and while we're here, the Lord that has carried them out of this old troubled world is going to be with us. And if we just would appreciate our pot of oil, if we just look and see all that's there and trust God and lean upon Him every day, every hour, every moment, all the way, rather than like me sometimes wondering how I'm going to get through. How am I going to make it? Lord, help me trust more. And this beautiful picture. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And I wonder what kind of conversations happened as she went from house to house to house getting those empty vessels. And notice how much the neighbors helped her. What did they give her? Well, they gave her just an old empty earthen vessel. Wasn't nothing in the vessel. Wasn't any oil in that vessel. Nothing there. Just an empty vessel. Just a pot. Empty. I'm going to tell you, that's what we get really when we go to the people of this world. You just get an old earthen empty vessel. All you really get from one another without the Lord. Now get me. Men and women can be of great help to one another as they share the grace of Almighty God that He has given to them with one another. There can be a great benefit in going to your brethren for help. I've had preachers that helped me a lot, but they helped me by the grace of God given to them. They shared that grace with me. I've also had some who just gave me an old empty pot, which was just about need. It's just need. I just saw that. Well, they had just as much need as I am. They had their pot's just as empty as mine. She has a pot there that has some oil in it. She's just got an empty pot. And now she's gathering those pots and she's bringing them back to the house. And why is she doing that? Because the prophet said do it. Not just the prophet. The prophet's word was only as valuable as the one who sent the prophet. And the Lord had told the prophet, had led the prophet, you tell him to do this. And I'm telling you, when you do what the Lord says, it's going to be all right. And when you don't, it's not. It's just that plain. And he's written unto us a whole book. Somebody said, well, let me just go find the... There are some men today who think they are that prophet that is to tell everybody. I see them. They're selling this, selling that. They'll send you this, they'll send you that. I'm the prophet. Just call. Listen. That we are in the day and age that we're living in, thank God, in the new covenant, where we have the truth written in God's word, we can count on what's in the pages of God's word for our direction. If you come to the house of God and the preacher gets in the stand and says, the Lord's given me a special message for you tonight, last night in a dream, something I'm going to tell you about that nobody's ever heard before, and he doesn't come with the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, you have a false teacher before you. And that's whether it's Brother Gary or whomever it is. Now somebody might say, well, can the Lord move someone in a dream? Well, of course the Lord can do whatsoever He wants to. But I'm telling you, He will confirm the truth by His Word. And if it doesn't fit the Word, don't follow it. If I'm preaching and it doesn't fit the Word, don't heed it. Don't follow it. And whether it's me, and Paul said, if it be I or an angel from heaven that would preach anything to you rather than that which has been preached, let him be accursed. And that's why when we stand before God's people, we ought to preach the Word. Preach the Word. Not preach anything, but preach the Word. And I found in my own ministry, when I stick with the Word, things are fine. It's when I get away from the Word that I get in trouble. So let's get back to the Word. He says, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. In other words, don't just get one or two. You go and get every pot you can get. Bring them back to the house. And when thou art come in, after you've gotten back to the house, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now I'll tell you, if scientists had been there on this day, and you know, I hear some of them say, you know, that can't really be true because, you know, we know scientifically nothing like that can happen. Let me tell you about a God who took nothing and made this world. Let me tell you about a God who has absolutely no trouble putting the stars in the sky, the work of His fingers. Let me tell you that this world is made by Him. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. It not only by the Lord Jesus Christ was it made, but it's by His power that it consists. If His power would fail for one moment, this world, this planet would fall completely apart. But don't be afraid, because He's the one, as the psalm says, He got the whole world in His hands. He made it and He's keeping it. I'm not worried about some catastrophe happen and just mess up everything. I mentioned it this morning, but those folks up there on that boat studying global warming and got so stuck in the ice they can't get out of there. I'm not saying there isn't some things that may happen in this planet, but I'm telling you, they're in the control of a Lord God omnipotent who's ruling and reigning on His throne. How do I know that? Because the book of Revelation tells me He's right there. And Stephen saw Him as He left this world. He looked, he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father as He was being stoned and His body was being mangled by those rocks hitting it. He said, you know, he left this, the world would say, boy, he died a terrible death. I believe He went out of, I'll tell you, it'd be time to go if you could see that. But heaven open. This woman's got a house full of empty pots and one pot of oil. And she's going to pour into the pots. I'd have loved to have seen those boys with you. I'd have loved to have seen it. As they poured out of the one pot and filled up the first pot, and they got as much in the pot that they poured out of. You ever seen God's grace? God gives you grace and you use that grace and you think, well, I've got that used up. No, you just got as much grace after you've used the grace He's shown you, the grace He's given you. Listen, the Bible says we have grace for grace. Listen, the Bible says, and by the way, grace didn't just come from nowhere. Grace is God's riches that have been shown to us, but it didn't come free. It's free to us. Yes, we say free grace. We don't even have to say that. Because grace by definition is unmerited favor that's been shown to us by Almighty God. But I want you to know the reason God has shown me favor and shown you favor and this little sister in the scripture favor is because there was a Savior who loved His people enough to allow Himself to die on a cross and be such a horrible death at Calvary and pay a sin debt we could not pay. And because we have been forgiven and given that great blessing of forgiveness, God can justifiably, because our sins have been removed from us, show us favor. Not only can He will show us favor. Somebody said, well, what do you do to deserve that? Well, if it's grace, you can't do anything to deserve it, can you? Because then it wouldn't be grace anymore. That's what's wonderful about grace. It either is or it isn't. I know a lot of people say, I believe in salvation by grace. And by the time you hear what they believe, there's no grace left in that. See, I believe in grace. I believe grace starts it. I believe grace keeps it. I believe grace finishes it. I believe the only way we can walk in a way pleasing to God is by His grace and through His grace and in His grace and what He has done for us. But I'm telling you, He's given us a pot of oil. He's given us grace sufficient. And when you pour out of that and you trust Him and you lean upon Him, you don't run out. It doesn't go bad. It stays there. That pot stays. How much will it stay? Every pot you got can be filled and will be filled. And listen, nobody was sneaking oil in the house. That's why the doors are shut. Nobody's sneaking it in the back door. Somebody said, somebody snuck it in. No, the doors are shut. And you know, it takes faith to pick up a pot of oil. And you know, why would you pour it over into another pot? It's just going to empty that pot and then you. But no, then they poured in that first one. And then by faith, as they trusted the Lord, they found that my pot didn't run dry. I still have more. I got another problem come up. Well, I'm going to fill that pot. And I got another need. Just think of all those needs. Filling them up as He went along. Fill those pots. And there, here, the sons were given a job. They had a job. All they had to do was move the full pots around. Boy. Now, I'm telling you. You thinking about two boys that were about to be sold into bondage. You think they was happy? You think that gold meant something to them? They said, listen, that was their freedom. That was their liberty. They were about to be bondsmen in this world. Who knows where and what they would have had to face. And this woman would have been brokenhearted. She's already lost her husband. Not lost him. He's in heaven, was all right. But she was brokenhearted about that. And here, there was no way to supply her needs. But God took care of her. I believe God will take care of me. I believe God will take care of you. And I want to declare that tonight. And I believe we got a pot of oil and a house full of pots filled with oil to show us that. And listen, we're not talking about something written on a card, some fairy tale somebody made up that you can't really depend on. We're talking about God's Word that you can live your life by. And the God that filled these pots, He's just the same today. He says, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and she shut the door upon her and upon her son. Somebody said, that woman's crazy. What does she think is going to happen? You're just going to pour it. What is there? Nothing's going to happen here. The scientists have said, don't do that. You know, they're saying, don't do that now. There are people who will tell you it's a waste of time for you to pray. It probably is going to, in this world we're living, it apparently looks like it's going to get worse and worse. And we know from Scripture it will wax worse and worse. And there will be more people that mock you and make fun of you for believing anything out of God's Word and believing anything that is our meat, it is our drink. Listen, we abandon this book, we abandon our light, our direction, our focus, and we start ignoring that. It'll be to our detriment. Haven't we learned that, brethren? I look at the problems in my life. It hadn't come because I followed this book. How about yours? It came because I didn't follow it. So let the scoffers say what they want. He's going to shut all the mouths of, let the heathens rage. He can bring desolation upon a place. He's the one who is able to supply our needs according, as a matter of fact, he said he would supply our need according. The Lord will supply all your need according to how much? According to the riches of his grace. That sounds like a pot full, doesn't it? Of oil that never runs dry. Now, I love this. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Here's mama pouring out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full. This, in other words, when you pour the vessels, the sons are going, their job was to set aside that which is full. They just, okay, get that one over here. There's a full pot. How many did it fill? Everyone they had in the house. Until she got to the place, she said, listen, she still got oil. She says, bring me yet a vessel. I got some more oil. Give me another vessel. You know, most of us would have said, just sneak out. The door's shut. Somebody get some more oil. We got a supply going. You know, we got things going. Here's what's beautiful about the Lord. The Lord doesn't give us more than we need. He gives us exactly what we need. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness and he was feeding them with manna, he didn't say you just go fill up everything you could and make them little greedy things. He just said you take what you need and it will last. And if they try, and you know by human nature, what our human nature does, they tried to store it up and it wouldn't last because it rotted. Except on the Sabbath when they were supposed to take enough for that day and the Sabbath, and then it didn't. Isn't that amazing? Scientists have said, that's impossible. Either it's going to rot or it's not. I'm telling you, this was angels' food that fell from heaven, given by Almighty God. And they didn't have too much of it. They didn't have too little of it. Most of our trouble in this world is come when we want more than what the Lord's given us. And one of our greatest heartaches that we have in the day and age of prosperity that we're living in is most of us really don't seem to be, and I don't want to be harsh here, I hope it is an instructive way, thankful for what God has given us so that we're at peace about what we have. Remember the wonderful verse that's saying, having food and raiment, be there with content. Paul said, I learned to be content in whatsoever state I was in. And if we have godliness with contentment, that means a commitment to follow the Lord with contentment, we've got great gain. And what does it profit a man if he's going after this and after that? And so much heartache has come in our life because we haven't been content with our pot of oil. But in this case, with their pots of oil. Because listen, the Lord loaded them down. Can I say to you, you're loaded too? He daily loads you with everything you need. He doesn't give you too much. He doesn't give it to you when you don't need it. He doesn't give you dying grace until it's time to die. He gives you living grace while you're alive. He'll give a preacher preaching grace when it's time to preach. He'll give you hearing grace when it's time to hear. He'll give you grace that you need on the job for tomorrow when you're on the job for tomorrow and you need it. He won't give you more than you need. He won't give you too little than you need. He will give you exactly what you need. That's exactly what he did for this little woman and her sons. And she said, there's not a vessel, and get this, and the oil stayed. His grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul said, oh, I got this thorn in the flesh. I got a messenger of Satan to buffet me because of the abundant revelation that's been given unto me. There needed to be he needed to be brought humble down and recognized and not get elevated in the knowledge the Lord had allowed him to have in order to keep him that way. The Lord had given him a thorn in the flesh. And I don't know all about what that was. I just know it kept the Apostle Paul where he needed to be. And it also kept him at the feet of the cross, begging unto the Lord and praying unto the Lord. He wanted to be relieved of that. But the answer came in that wonderful verse that you've heard over and over. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." This amount of oil that was given wasn't a bit too much or a bit too little. Listen what it did. And I'll close with this verse. "Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay the debt. Use that oil. Use what I've given you.'" Listen, we've received the grace of God tonight. We're not to receive it in vain. We're to use what God has given us. We're to work out that which God has worked in. We're to utilize what He's blessed us with. The fruit of the Spirit that He's allowed us to have, we're to walk in that that fruit. And the wisdom He's given us, we're to walk in that wisdom. The light He's given us, all of the blessings that have flown out of that wonderful river of His grace, flowing out of the throne of heaven, that is the streams thereof that make glad the city of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord's people. We're to use those things. This little woman said, go and sell the oil. And pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. How much did she need? She was given exactly what she needed. He didn't say, "Well, that'll take care of you for a while," and then, you know, he said, "It's going to not only pay the debt, but on that same amount you can live thou and thy children of the rest." I'm telling you, tonight you and I have been the recipients of the grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That grace that came by the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace sufficient to live by. Grace sufficient to die by. And grace we're going to be singing about in heaven forever and ever, to the praise and the glory of the God of all grace. And may He be praised down here until we get home. And then in a perfect voice we'll be able to praise Him over there. When you get down and discouraged, remember that blessing He's already given you in your life that has helped you through and has been there. His grace has been there and everything you've needed. Listen, He'll not leave you. He'll not forsake you. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. I appreciate your kind attention.